Blog Talk Radio.
Diva Strategies for Success. I am so excited because I have a fabulous guest today. Her name is Janet Fishman. She is a professional organizer who understands the organizing needs of busy and overwhelmed professionals who are juggling family, household, and career. Because she lived that life for 25 years as a corporate trainer instructing attorneys how to do research on a legal database while as a single mother raising a singleton plus triplets. Wow. When Janet left the corporate world and started her professional organizing business, she became an expert in paper organizing. She has the patience to cull through boxes of old paper in the garage, tote bags in the closet, bins under the bed, unopened envelopes on the dining table, and forgotten documents in the file cabinet. In eliminating unneeded papers and creating organizing filing systems, she organizes financial papers, opens mail, and writes checks for her clients, making sure bills are paid on time and verifying that charges on bank statements and credit card statements are legitimate and not scam. She attended Mount SAC Cal State Long Beach, and after graduating from Southwestern Law School with a Juris Doctorate degree, has lived in the San Fernando Valley. She is a member of NAPO, which is the National Association of Professional Organizers, AADMM, American Association of Daily Money Managers, and ICD, Institute for Challenging Disorganization. So welcome, Janet. I am so honored to have you on the show today. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. I'm very honored to be on your show today.
Well, I'm honored to have you. I have some questions I want to ask you. Why does organizing come so easily for some people while others struggle their whole lives with disorganization?
Sure. And for people that want to see like me in person or listen to some videos that I've done or read some articles, my website is www.hopeorganizers.com. And the reasons that some people struggle their whole lives, there's a variety of reasons. Two very big ones are that many people miss the executive development skills as a child. Somehow they miss that developmental stage as a child, and this stage is where decision-making and organizational skills are developed, and some people miss those skills. Some other issues, sometimes people that have ADD or ADHD or OCD, or they are aging, and they could have this issues. Sometimes people are just so busy. Our society is very busy these days, and people are, you know, running in a million directions between jobs and family and household and caring for elderly parents that they don't have time. And then there's a lot of buying things is so easy these days. We're just bombarded by all the media and buying, and we're consumed by consumption, that it's just so easy when someone feels stressed just to do shopping. And that contributes also. So there's many reasons, and they might have come from a home where the parents had some hoarding issues, and so they were raised in a home like that, and so they carry it on. So there's many, many issues that can cause someone to struggle with disorganization.
So what are the negative consequences of being disorganized?
Well, one big one is you miss bills or you're late on your bills, so there's a financial cost in paying late fees. Sometimes it's you go out and you buy another roll of Scotch tape when you already have 10 rolls, but you can't find them, or you buy another tube of toothpaste and you can't find the 7 that are already in the back of a drawer or a cabinet. So that's one. Those are some financial consequences. People feel very embarrassed and they don't have their friends over. Children are embarrassed if their parents have the hoarding disorder. They can't invite friends over. People feel very confused and frustrated and lost, ashamed. There can be marital discord if one spouse is organized and the next spouse isn't. They feel like a failure. A lot of times I get phone calls and people are crying on the phone because they say, I've struggled with this my whole life. And, well, if someone has struggled with this and all they've heard their whole life, like, oh, you live in a pig pen, you're a slob, your homework is messy, your room is messy, they have a lack of self-confidence. And they are just, very poor self-esteem. And so they just have this helpless feeling all the time. And that's kind of how my company's name came about, is that I bring hope to my clients and I help them bring solutions. So those are some of the negative consequences.
What are the benefits of being organized?
Well, the benefits is that you'll be able to get more done in less time because you will have good time management. You will be able to get to places on time. You'll be able to locate the papers or the item that you need when you need it. If you need a roll of scotch tape, you'll be able to find it because it'll be organized in a drawer where you have office supplies. So being organized builds up people's confidence. They have increased self-confidence. They reduce accidents also in their home.
Also.
I have, when I go in to see seniors and I see that their walkways are cluttered and their pathways and their doors are blocked, and I tell them, look, if an ambulance had to come and bring the gurney in, they won't be able to bring that in. You won't be able to walk with your walker or your wheelchair. So people have their safety issues. People feel like they are successful when I help someone clear a space, and now they have more space in their life. They not only have more space in their physical space, but their head is clearer. They have more thinking space in their mind, and so they become more productive and more creative. And they're able to use their rooms and their furniture for intended purposes. I mean, if there's clothes all over the couch, they can't sit there and watch TV or entertain. If there's paper and clutter all over the dining table, they can't eat dinner there with their family. So by getting these things decluttered and organized, they will have clear space. And it gives them a sense of accomplishment when they finish a project. So these are some of the benefits.
Can you tell us why organized filing systems are so important?
Yes. So mainly I'll refer to paper with regards to that. If there's properly organized files in a file cabinet, someone will know. It happened just today at a client. I was at a client. She's in her 90s. I go twice a month, and I open her mail, and I pay her bills. So I opened her bill today from the gardener. The gardener said, well, you didn't pay for February and March, and now this is April, so you owe for 3 months. And I looked in her desk drawer because I had organized all her files. I pulled out the gardener 2021 file, and sure enough, there was a copy of the invoice and the check that I had paid. And so I just crossed that stuff off, and I said, no, that was paid by this check number. So you're able then to stay on top of your bills. You know when the bill has been paid. Then you have a place to put the paper after you've paid it. And one of the really big ones is being organized helps whoever's going to be your executor, or if family is coming in at the time someone passes away, everything then is properly organized. So one of the things that I do a lot with my clients is I get, when I go in to see a client and they have a lot of paper, it can be in tote bags, it can be in boxes, it can be under the bed, it can be in the basement, the attic, the garage. And I have to go through all of this paper to ascertain what can be tossed, what's old, like an old utility bill that's 20 years old, they don't need that. But papers that relate to life insurance or to stock that they own or to, you know, the home purchase, those are very important documents that need to be retained and they need to be found. So if I find an older, let's say, life insurance policy, I get on the phone with my client and I'm calling the insurance company to ascertain, is this still a life insurance policy still active? Yes or no. If it, the same thing with the brokerage, if I find old stock certificates, they should not be thrown away until one is called to find out if that's still a valid stock certificate or does this brokerage account still exist. Banks, there's many bank accounts that people forget about. Maybe they got opened when they were by their parents when they were young. And if bank accounts are not used in, some banks are like 3 years, some are 5 years, it gets escheated to the state, in this case, state of California. And then one has to search the unclaimed property database to find that money, and then they have to fill out all kinds of forms. So this is one thing I also do with my clients is I make sure that we look in that database to see if there's any money that they forgot about, and we retrieve it. I retrieve it for them. So these, and then if in the event they pass away, the executor will come in and be able to look in the file cabinet and see, okay, here's their insurance policy. Okay, here's their title to their car or their title to their home. We have the papers to give to the realtor. Another thing is when one needs to plan their estate planning and they need to see an attorney or they want to buy a certain kind of different kind of insurance or they want to see a financial advisor, everything now is properly organized so the attorney, the financial advisor, the insurance agent can know what they have and they can get it into the trust. They can get it into the financial plan. So this is why having a filing system is extremely, extremely important. Also, if one runs a business, and being with GSFE, we have, you know, people with their small businesses, all year round, they need to properly keep track of their receipts so that when it comes time to file their taxes, everything is right there in order. They don't have to spend days and hours pulling their hair out trying to find the receipts from, you know, 12 months ago. For that relate to their business. So this is really important.
I think another big thing that a lot of people forget about is so many people use computers with passwords. So I think a file needs to be set where passwords are kept. And so if somebody passes on, that people will be able to get into their computer if they need to. Because that happened to
absolutely.
Me when my stepfather passed away. I couldn't get into the computer.
Absolutely. And actually, I have a recording. I interviewed someone who about digital assets after death, and that's actually posted on my website under the video section, but it's hopeorganizers.com, hopeorganizers.com, and there's a recording with someone named Sarah, and she's another organizer, and one of the things she does is specializes in digital assets after death. Now, as far as the passwords go, absolutely. And a lot of these digital assets, like Facebook or online banking, you cannot get in unless you've done almost like a advanced directive or a power of attorney for the digital assets. Your family member or your executor cannot get into some of these. So there's a lot of laws and banking and policies that will exclude someone trying to go in and close an account. So they attorneys nowadays are often including in the power of attorney or in the trust that they're developing for the clients, they're putting in there, you know, that this will enable them to access their social media and their online accounts. And then the trustee or the executor can take that and send a copy to places like Facebook or the banks. So it's really important that they do that. As far as passwords go, yes, for any, just make a spreadsheet and put on the spreadsheet the, you know, the username, the password, who it is, like, you know, Wells Fargo Bank, WellsFargo.com or AmericanAirlines.com, whatever accounts, and write down the password, the any hints. Like sometimes they ask you, you know, for three security questions, you know, write those down so the person, if they're asked that, they'll be able to do it, and any other important information. And even if you're a young person and you don't own a house and you don't think that you need a trust, you still should make a something to allow someone to go in. So it's almost it's like estate planning for your digital assets. And you can talk to an estate planning attorney and see if they can include that. But it's extremely important to keep your passwords organized and 'cause, yeah, something could happen. And then for some people do use services like LastPass or 1Pass that you only have to remember one password. Well, if someone is doing that online, they need to record that and get that to, you know, a trusted family member or a trusted fiduciary so someone won't be able to do that.
A big part of your organizing process is doing detective work. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, so that's kind of what I said before, is that I will get on the phone and I will call these different companies and find out what they, if you know, if they have a record, if something is still active or not active, and that'll determine whether we keep documents or we can throw the documents away. Getting the powers of attorney in order, getting the trusts in order, getting the will in order. I ask all my clients, and if they don't, then you know, we get them connected with an estate planning attorney. Sometimes, like I said, I have to search the unclaimed property database, and I have to help them find documents. So that's a big, big part of what I do. I get on the phone with credit card companies, and a lot of times there's fraud, and I have to call and I have to dig deep down and do detective work on where did this charge come from and what is it for, and calling the credit card companies. So a lot of my job, I feel like I'm a paper detective.
That's fun. Let's face it, there's never enough time. So what is the number one tool you recommend for Disney business entrepreneurs to get as much done as they can?
So one of the things that I like to do is, you know, time management is an issue for all of us because we're just bombarded by everything. Is so one thing is to maintain one calendar and write all your appointments in that one calendar, whether it's for your business clients, a dentist appointment, your kids play at school, a parent-teacher conference. But very, very importantly, and this is kind of my big tip, is make appointments with yourself when you're going to get things done. Just like you make an appointment to go to the dentist, or you made the appointment to go see the teacher, or you made the appointment to, you know, get your nails done, write in when you're going to go and take care of the things you need to take care of. A big part of organizing is getting things done, getting them off the plate, and so many people get buried with all the things they got to do. So we open the calendar, and you can do this on your phone or on paper calendar. We open it up. Okay, they tell me I got to go to the post office. Okay, what day do you want to go to the post office? Oh, I have time on Wednesday. Okay, what time on Wednesday? 11 o'clock. Okay, write that in. Write that in. Go to post office at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. you said you have to, what else do you have to get done? Well, I have to call the insurance company because one of my kids is now driving. Okay, when are you going to call the insurance company? Oh, I think I'll have time on Thursday. What time? What day? Thursday? Okay, what time? 10 a.m.? Write it in on your calendar. We have so much on our minds that we, by making that appointment with yourself, you know that you're going to accomplish it and get it done. And you can set, if you're using your phone or your an electronic thing, you can set an alarm to buzz you. And this way, you allocate your time, you get things done, you get it out of your brain and on paper, and that way it registers in the neurons of the brain, and you know you're going to complete it instead of worrying about it. When am I going to get this done? When am I going to go to the library to return my library books? You don't need to worry, constantly worry. You put it on your calendar.
That's great. So when one goes to hire a professional organizer, a daily money manager, what qualifications should they look for?
Sure. So I'm both a professional organizer and a daily money manager. As you heard me say, I help a lot of people look at their bank statements and look at their credit cards, make sure there's not fraud. I pay their bills. I open the mail to make sure they're not falling for scams or overdoing charity donations. I have clients that elderly clients that give away, you know, hundreds of dollars a month when they can't afford it, but they're being bombarded with charity. So, you know, we kind of have to control that. Also, with the daily money manager, too, I have to look at their I'm not a bookkeeper, so I'm not doing QuickBooks. I do work very closely with bookkeepers, but I do look over their bank statements and their credit cards, and I'm looking what the charges are, and if there's anything unusual, I ask them, you know, what is this charge for a makeup place for $9,000? You know, what are these $50 charges every single day to this company? So I'm making them aware, and we're making the phone calls. So the things that you want to look at when you're hiring, you're searching for one of these people is, you know, what is their training? Some people have a lot of training. Others have gotten some training through the professional associations that they're members of. You want to find out how long they've been in business. You want to find out if they're insured, if they're bonded, if they've been background checked, what associations they belong to, because that shows that someone, you know, has gone out of the way to take their job seriously, their career seriously, if they have any advanced degrees or certifications that they've gone for, any advanced training. So those are some things to look at.
So did you ever find money hidden among the thousands of papers you go through?
Yes, almost every day. Almost every day I find. One time I was cleaning out someone's shower that they had not used in 10 years because they had boxes just piled up. And I took me, you know, several weeks to go through all these boxes, and I found $500 in cash. Another one of my clients, she had a room filled with boxes. Again, she had about 10 years worth of paper, and it took me a few months to go through there, and I found a few thousand dollars in Costco coupons, you know, the certificates you get when you renew. Another client had put like probably 100 boxes of paper down in the garage, and I found about $1,600 in an envelope. Then I have found constantly finding uncashed checks. One of my clients closed an escrow or refi, and she had gotten like $700 back, and she never cashed the check. So we had to contact the escrow company and get a new check issued. So I find a lot of uncashed checks. I find lots of dollar bills and coins, and, yeah, it's And then, of course, I find the unclaimed property money. So
that's great.
Client gets pretty excited.
So we have about 5 minutes left, and I have two questions, and then I want you to make sure that you tell them how they can get in touch with you. So how do you convince someone to separate from items they've held on 30 or 40 years? And if you could shout out to the entire world only one piece of organizing advice, what would it be? And then how can people get in touch with you? You have
okay.
a little over 4 minutes.
Okay. So let me answer the one about one piece of advice, and that is manage your own money. Even like I said, I look at the bank statements, the credit card statements. So many people now that are doing this online, they completely forget about looking at their money, and they're relying on the banks and the automatic withdrawals to pay for all of their bills. Well, credit cards make mistakes. Banks make mistakes. Sometimes they take out too much, too little. They double charge. They don't charge. And at least if you get a paper bill in the mail, it's in front of your face. But the people that are forgetting and not looking at their online are there's problems. So definitely look if you like online. If not, do it by paper. Some of the questions that I ask people, and I have a whole series of questions that I take clients through, because separating from their items that they've had for 30, 40 years is not an easy process. And so one of the big questions is, how does this item still serve you? The same way sometimes you end a relationship because the relationship doesn't serve you anymore, so people get divorced or they don't talk to somebody any longer. The same with your items. If they don't serve you anymore, maybe it'll serve somebody else, so donate them. If you're downsizing, someone is older, you're helping an elderly parent, this is the time the parent can make the decision while they still have their cognition. But once that person passes away, oftentimes adult children just come with a dumpster and they dump everything. So I tell the seniors, this is your time. If you want it to go to a charity, you want it to go to a homeless shelter, this is your time to make the decision on where that item goes. I ask the client, when did they last use this item? If they haven't used it for 5 years, they probably could buy it again. So why take up a whole cabinet of stuff that you don't use? Is it going to fit if you're downsizing to smaller quarters like assisted living? Is this going from a 2,000 square foot into an 800 square foot senior living? It's not going to fit. So those are some of the questions. I have a whole list of other questions when I work with clients. People can go to my website, www.hopeorganizers.com. hopeorganizers.com, or they can reach me by phone, 818-349-6330, or email janet@hopeorganizers.com.
Wow, what great information. And, you know, everything you said, people really need to do, and they really need someone professional like you to help them get through all that. Because I have one quick question. One time I had someone, one of my members was a hoarder and she passed, and the house was packed with boxes having to climb. But when we opened her drawers, everything in the drawers was perfect. Have you ever come across that? And that was so interesting to me.
Yes, I've seen everything. I've seen everything. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, people that have the hoarding disorder, it's an emotional, there's generally because they've suffered some trauma in their life, and so they're holding on. They're holding on to things. Those items are like their best buddies. They have a personality. They're not just an empty milk box. It takes on a whole personality of their own, and especially if the items that belong to their deceased parents or spouse or children, they can't let go. There's a whole emotional, you know, component.
Well, that's great. Well, I learned a lot, and I had the experience of the cards anyway. We're like 20 seconds, so I want to thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being my guest today. Great information, and
As I said, the show link will have your show on it, and then it will be up forever in our archive, so people can listen to it whenever they want from now
great.
On. Thank
Wonderful.
You. And it was great
Thank
having you.
Thank you very
Bye
much.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now.